The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, as St. Paul writes, we must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works, and we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the traditions, and the current ministries of St. Barbara Parish on Cleveland's near west side. The church building serves as a landmark. You might recognize it if you travel on Route 176, the Jennings Freeway, right at the Denison Avenue exit. The parish itself was established in 1905 to accommodate a growing population of Polish Catholics who were finding employment and housing in Cleveland's nearby Steel Valley. And you need only to travel Route 176, the Jennings Freeway, today. You'll see the steel mills and the other industrial manufacturing facilities still in operation. Well, the parish continues to serve the needs of congregants, now many of them returning to the parish from nearby suburbs. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and activities of St. Barbara Parish is Father Joseph Holinsky, the pastor, along with longtime parishioners and staff volunteers Christine DeZina and Michael Minich. And Father Joe, let's start first with St. Barbara's as an ethnic parish. That's where the tradition begins, 1905, with the Polish faithful. Would that be a correct assessment?
Oh, yes. The Poles moved very close to the steel plants, and they needed a place of worship. It was a very controversial time, too, in the Catholic Church in the United States, and it was very important for them to have some place where, though Mass was in Latin, like in other parts of the Catholic Church, devotions, preaching would be in the language of the people. One of the people, part of a committee, when I reopened the church, I asked her, she was a young lady, she was in her 20s, and she spoke beautiful English, and I said, well, why do we need a parish for you to have Mass in Poland? And she said, Father, it's my first language with God. I speak English very well, but there's something about the comfort and the closeness I feel to God when I hear the Polish language.
Was there a desire to have their own parish? Is that, I think you just expressed it, Father, but a true testament to the faithfulness as well of these Polish immigrants?
Yes, the Catholic community of Poland has always been a very faithful group, and they brought that to the United States with them. To share their faith, and they wanted to continue with their children and their children's children, and it's still an important part of their feeling of faithfulness to the church.
Father, with my tongue in cheek, is it a prerequisite that the pastor have a last name that ends in SKI?
Absolutely not, because that's a stereotype of Polish people. Polish names are not necessarily ending in ski. We had the priest that baptized me right here at St. Barbara's was Father Jarosz. That doesn't end in SKI. A wonderful priest that served as Father Sudnik, which that's another name that doesn't end in SKI. And then Father Dirch, Michael Dirch, was a faithful administrator for a number of years to these people.
Mm-hmm. The original church was not built on the current site. And I understand that at one point St. Barbara's was a parish without a church building due to a certain tragic event in 1916.
Yes, maybe you can fill us in, Christine, about that.
Well, there is a lot that we don't know about what happened. There was a fire at the original church, and after the church burned down, the parishioners on this side of town really wanted to have a church here. So arrangements were made to buy the property on the corner of 15th and Denison, and that's where the church stands today. We had the original church that we had there. We went through a lot of changes. We had the church in our school building at one point, and the old church was used as a hall. And in 1952, the new church was dedicated, the church that you see on that property now.
You know, it's an interesting point, too, Christine. You bring up education, school building, et cetera. That's played a major role in the parish as well, has it not? And who were the orders of sisters who helped staff the school?
My understanding is that the first order of nuns here were the Franciscan Sisters of Sylvania, Ohio. And there were some vocations from our parish to that order. Of course, they were located in Toledo. The next group that came were the Sisters of Marymount, Third Order of St. Francis, and they were here the majority of the time, I would say for like 90% of the time that the school existed. And like I went here for 3 years to school before it closed. I think Christine was here for all of her elementary education. But yes, those are the two orders. And like in my time, when the school was, enrollment was going down, so we had like two classes in one classroom. So like sister would have first and second grade in one room, third and fourth in another room, and that's how it was 1960s period.
Sure, and during that whole time period. Well, coming up, St. Barbara Parish and the dedication of its parishioners to keep the doors open for a variety of reasons, different transitions occurring at the parish level. On Where We Worship, on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. With special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from the ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesik's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Now, be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. Well, today we're looking at St. Barbara Parish on Cleveland's near west side, Denison Avenue, next to Route 176, also known as the Jennings Freeway. And my guests are the pastor of St. Barbara's Parish, Father Joseph Holinsky, along with longtime parishioners and staff volunteers, Christine Zazina and Michael Minich. Established in 1905 at the urging of Polish immigrants, St. Barbara's has had an interesting history of survival. First, the parish survived, well, really, the destruction of much of its supporting neighborhood. The building of I-71 first, later the interstate portion of 176, the Jennings Freeway. And Father, I guess I'll ask you initially, how was that accomplished? There was an awful lot going on that was really changing neighborhoods. We've seen that throughout the whole construction of the freeway system and the inner city parishes. Now, how was St. Barbara's able to endure all that?
Well, you know, I think it's almost very similar to the COVID difficulty that all of us Catholic churches have experienced. It was an early shock to the system when people were being displaced, and some of the areas where the freeway went through were very pivotal to the life of the parish. But I think it was the faith of the people, the commitment to the community, because it's the parish is far more than just an ethnic parish. It's the relationship of the families to each other and their support of each other. They want to see each other. They want to be part of it. So the very freeway that caused the problem is now also the very way by which many of our prisoners from Middleburg Heights, North Royalton, Brooklyn Center, they come in to worship the Lord.
Yes, I just wanted, this kid just came to me when Father was talking, and I know Christine knows a little more about this. The original plan was to take the freeway right through the front doors of St. Barbara's. And I believe at that time, Father Yadosh And the councilman here, Ted Sliva, probably with other council members and people from church, really fought that, you know, freeway coming through. And so when it was built, it didn't obviously go through the front doors. It was put through the, like, on the side, the I would say the eastern side. But that was always interesting. And I think Christine could talk about, there were even letters that the school children wrote about asking that the freeway not to take the church.
Yeah, that would have been in the 60s. As a child in school, we all wrote letters to the mayor and to everybody who would listen, asking them to save our church. I guess we were very, very lucky. God took care of us, and they did change the plan. So that was the 60s, and then, of course, when they started building, they built on the other side of the church, and that was 71, and we lost a lot of families that way, and that affected when our school closed, too, because we lost children coming to the school. So that the second blow came when 71 was built, and then when the Jennings Freeway came through, we lost a lot of the families' homes right near the church. We lost a lot of people who would walk to church. So that meant that now they were out of the neighborhood and maybe would come back to us, or maybe would go to churches wherever they moved to. So that did affect us in a lot of ways.
And then let's move to one more aspect to all of this that makes it a remarkable history at St. Barbara's as far as its longevity and endurance. During the reconfiguration of the diocese, St. Barbara's was scheduled to close, but once again, it was parishioners, and I think Christine and Michael, you were involved, that were able to step in and keep St. Barbara's open. How did that come about?
There was one pivotal event in that. And there was a friend of mine at work, and he said to me, you know, there's going to be a meeting at St. Adalbert's on the east side about the churches that were closed, and people are going to get together. And he said, you know, maybe you should go there. And I did go, and I was surprised to see representatives from each of the parishes there. And from that little meeting at St. Adalbert's, that kind of sparked... Well, I guess you know them as the Endangered Catholics. And that's when we all got together, all the people from different parishes. We talked about our parishes. We talked about why we didn't think it was, we thought it was a mistake to close our parishes for whatever reason. And I just think that was the start of the planning transition of how we were going to come together. What plans could we make, and what ideas do we have to try to help to save our parishes?
We are very lucky that we had such a group of people to work with.
Yeah.
For one thing, it sustained us in our hope that we would be able to save our parish. And we worked with one another to get information from each other. And it almost became like a second parish to many of us. We formed close relationships with those people. And we just didn't want to give up. We are glad that we participated in that group.
And it brought us together. We got to see the other parishes. We met with these different people. So that, in a way, was like, talk about a Catholic community coming together. We all got to see each other's churches. We were visiting each other, you know, talking with each other, meeting. So in a way, it was kind of a blessing, because it brought people together.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, in light of the reopening, as the Vatican then reopened some of those parishes, including St. Barbara's, of course, how has St. Barbara's been able to continue to operate? And, you know, is there vibrancy there as far as participation and people joining the parish?
Well, I would just say that when you've almost lost something, it gives you more motivation to keep things going. We have wonderful parishioners, people that have come back, and new people that have joined us that I think have kept us vibrant. But I think it's just a matter of really appreciating what we have here.
And in terms of numbers, I mean, if you say, yes, do we have hundreds or thousands of people? No. But my biggest concern, I think, was I just didn't feel it was fair to shut down the little guy. I always thought the little guy should have a chance too. And we were doing okay. Yes, we're vibrant in the sense of the fact that the people who do come want to be here. There are many volunteers, and we have, you know, activities to the best of our ability with the people we have, dinners, you know, events like that and, you know, bring people together, mostly food type events. So yes, I would say we are vibrant in that sense. And of course with our worship, we have a great pastor. He tries to bring us very, very good scripture teachings, and in that sense, I would say we're vibrant.
Well, coming up at St. Barbara's, we'll talk a little bit about maybe some of those special traditions that Michael just referenced, and how St. Barbara's serves our community today on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this August 2022 program, St. Barbara's Parish celebrating its 117th anniversary on Cleveland's Near West Side. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are St. Barbara Pastor, Father Joseph Holinsky, along with longtime parishioners and staff volunteers, Christine DeZina and Michael Minich. We've talked a lot about the fact got an ethnic base to the parish going back to 1905, the Polish traditions. Are there any special ones that you'd like to acknowledge that you celebrate annually in the Polish tradition at St. Barbara's?
May I make a point of just saying, as pastor, that's been one of my great concerns, and I think even pastors who don't have SKI at the end of their names, you know, there's some pastors already of Polish parishes, they make the effort to make sure the traditions are kept alive. And there's some very beautiful traditions. I was, as a young boy, I was brought up in a Polish parish, even though I was baptized here at St. Barbara's, but we moved into English-speaking parishes very soon as a child. I had still some familiarity with some of these traditions, and I know that that between Christine and Michael, they want to share with our audience those traditions.
Yes, I could start, let's say, with December and Christmas. Of course, St. Barbara's feast day is December 4th. Even though she was taken off the calendar, we still try to remember her, obviously because that's our patron. Christmas time, you know, you have the Polish Kolendi, and that always is a big draw. And what that is the Christmas carols in Polish, and that's always a real popular thing for Christmas because we have the choirs that sing, and people come back to hear the Polish Kolendi. You have the breaking of the opłatki and the Christmas Vigilia Supper, which is very important. Like after that, you have the Feast of the Three Kings, and that was the time when the priest would always come to bless the homes around that time. He would actually come in his old, whatever the car was, and you'd see that blue car coming down the street, and you always knew when Father was there because you'd see the blue car, and he would come and he'd walk from house to house blessing people's homes. That was always something in the winter time.
I would just like to talk about Corpus Christi.
Yes.
Growing up, we would have altars in the neighborhood, on our front porch, three altars in the neighborhood. The final altar would be in church, and we would process through the neighborhood around the block. Now what we do is we have three altars in the parking lot. The parishioners decorate the altars. We come out singing and we process, and then we come back into the church. And that's a very important holiday, I suppose, for everybody, but as Poles, we like that holiday.
In addition, you know, during the Lenten and Easter season, there's some very special devotions, one of them particularly called Gorzko Żale, which is the singing of almost like the lamentations of a Polish tradition. It's very deeply embedded in the people, so much so that they will come to Mass, and at the end of Mass, the Gorzko Żale service is 20 more minutes to the service, ending with benediction, and not a person leaves that church, because it's part of their Lenten devotion. And then on Easter, we still have a Easter resurrection procession, even though it's not as it used to be. Early in the morning, it takes place before the Easter Mass with a tradition there, processing with the Blessed Sacrament to the empty tomb.
Yeah, those are wonderful traditions, and they date back, I'm sure, literally some centuries, and it is a wonderful participation. Let me ask, tied in with that, Father, I always ask this question in these interviews regarding the parish in these days and ages. In the current culture, which dismisses organized religion and worship, and for that matter, traditions to such a degree, how are you able to reach younger people and engage them in the faith at St. Barbara's?
Well, as I think Michael mentioned, I try to deliver a homily or sermon that has a point to it, has some relevance, tries to interpret the scriptures so that people can understand it better. And at least those young people who do come, they receive, hopefully, some encouragement that faith can mean something to them in today's world. And I think I make that effort in particular with regard to my homilies in the liturgy. And we also try, I think, very much so. We're not an avant-garde music parish, but we have good musicians here. Two wonderful women, Debbie Persiak and Allison Kirsch, who provide contemporary sound, but traditional sound too, to the liturgy. And I think that enhances the community feeling. Reverence also is, I think, a second key. Young people want a reverent liturgy. We do keep a little solemnity, especially during the Easter season, the Christmas season, incense is used. Other times of the year, we call ordinary time, it's very simple, but we try to keep a balance of reverence and solemnity, dignity, and yet familiarity.
That really does sound like an effective strategy as such. How do you think St. Barbara's will best serve the community in the future, Father, as Cleveland develops, the neighborhood, you know, they go through changes and so forth. How will it best serve?
It's interesting, the development of the hospital, Metro Hospital, which is, I can see from the windows of my parish house and the church, I think has a real sense of encouragement that it's coming, a redevelopment of this area. So prayerfully and hopefully, the parish will be sort of a seedbed for faith, and as the neighborhood is renovated, that will be a place of worship. Continuing into the later part of this 21st century.
Father Hrlinski, how would someone best learn more about St. Barbara's if they're listening and interested?
Christine, would you help us out with that? Since you have the communications of our parish all the time.
Well, first of all, they could best learn about St. Barbara's by coming here. We welcome people to come here. We're easy to find on the Jennings Freeway at Denison Avenue. Michael can tell you about the Facebook.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook page.
We do have a Facebook page, and we try to keep that, you know, current with events that we have. Like we would have a Super Bowl soup event and a raffle. And all these events that we had were very, very successful. We always had, like, people coming from all over for them. So that's another way that we try to reach out to people and to community, as well as helping, you know, the poor in the area too. We do donations. We try to help Metro Catholic School is our school that I don't know if I was just
sponsor and support.
Them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And so we have a good relationship with the Sisters of Notre Dame and Metro Catholic School. People are very generous in helping out with helping the school children when they need supplies or donations for food at Thanksgiving time. Also with the Brooklyn Center, which is another food pantry, we're very helpful with them.
We should also add, if people have questions or they like a copy of our bulletin, our weekly bulletin, they can reach us at st.barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, at att.net. And we'll be happy to send out a copy of our bulletin or answer any questions.
Sounds very good. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Barbara's Parish on Cleveland's Near West Side. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.